Long Live Walter Jameson was the title of an episode of The Twilight Zone, which aired during the show's very first season. If you're old enough, you might remember it from its first showing. Others may recall it from the reruns of The Twilight Zone that air every once in a while on the Sci-Fi Channel. The story concerned an extremely popular history professor named Walter Jameson. Now, Jameson was not your stereotypical sleep-inducing history teacher. No offense to any history teachers present here today. But he had an uncanny ability to make his students' minds come alive when he talked about ancient events and ancient personages. In fact, when he spoke about certain historical figures, he did it with such insight that it seemed like he knew them personally, or had known them personally. Well, it turns out that he had known them personally. This is the Twilight Zone, remember? One of his fellow professors, an elderly man named Sam Kitteridge, happened to be reading a book on the Civil War one day, and in it he found a picture of a man named Hugh Skelton, an officer in the Union Army. Well, he noticed that Skelton looked exactly like Walter Jameson, down to the ring on his finger and the mole on his face. After initially denying it, Jameson finally admitted to his colleague that he was the man in the 100-year-old photograph. It seems that 2,000 years earlier, he had paid an alchemist a great deal of money for the gift of never growing old or getting sick. Here's how Jameson explained it to Kitteridge. He said, "I was like you, Sam, afraid of death. When I thought of all the things there were to know and the miserable few years that a man had to know them, it seemed senseless. At night, every night, I dreamed as you dream of immortality. Only if a man lived forever, I thought, could there be any point in living at all. However, after I met the alchemist and he gave me the gift of never growing old, I saw my wife and my children aging, my friends dying. This is something I hadn't considered, you see. Think about it. I tell you that somehow I can stop you from aging. Where do you want to stop? At 30? Then you watch everyone around you grow old. At 70? Do you want to live forever the way you are now? Old? Sick?" His fellow professor responds, "It's better than dying." Jameson snaps back, "No, you're wrong, Sam. I was wrong. It's death that gives this world its point. We love a rose because we know it will soon be gone. Whoever loved a stone?" A little later in the conversation, Kitteridge says, "I thought that if a man lived forever, he'd grow wiser. But that's not true, is it?" "No," Jameson answers, "you just go on living, that's all." The program ends when one of Jameson's most recent former wives tracks him down and shoots him, not wanting him to marry the woman he's currently engaged to. As Jameson lies dying, he speaks these final words to his friend Sam Kitteridge. "Nothing lasts forever. Thank God." Walter Jameson, after living 2,000 years, came to the realization that nothing on this earth completely satisfied him. In spite of all the knowledge he had accumulated, in spite of all the friends he had made, in spite of all the wonderful experiences he had lived through, there was within him a fundamental dissatisfaction with this life. And it didn't go away for 2,000 years. In fact, if anything, this feeling of dissatisfaction got stronger and stronger as time went on. That explains his dying words to his friend Sam Kitteridge, "Nothing lasts forever. Thank God." Do you recognize this dissatisfaction within yourself? You should. I recognize it within me. Even if we're well-adjusted and happy, there's still something within us that always longs for something more. Most of us know the story of the conversion of St. Augustine. His mother, St. Monica, prayed for him for many, many years while he lived the life of a hedonist, a playboy. It would have fit in perfectly with what's going on in Fort Lauderdale these days. Spring break. Finally, Monica's prayers were answered and his son, her son, changed his life. Later, he became a bishop and one of the greatest theologians in the history of the Church. On her deathbed, Monica said these words to her son, Augustine. She said, "Son, as far as I'm concerned, nothing in this life now gives me any pleasure. I do not know why I am still here, since I have no further hopes in this world. I did have one reason for wanting to live a little longer, to see you become a Catholic Christian before I died. God has lavished his gifts on me in that respect, for I know that you have renounced earthly happiness to be his servant. So what am I doing here?" Even the great saints were not perfectly satisfied in this life. And why is that? That, I would say, is the crucial question. Why this dissatisfaction? Why is it that we're never completely content here on this earth? Well, as I see it, there are two possible answers to that question. Possibility number one, it's because of a defect in design. Mentally, we just didn't evolve properly. Something went wrong back in prehistoric times, causing this internal weakness within us. Which brings us to the second possible reason. We're never perfectly satisfied here because we weren't made for here. Our true and ultimate destiny lies somewhere else. So of course the things of this world don't bring us perfect happiness. Of course we're always longing for something more. We're never perfectly satisfied. We're only meant to live here for a time. We're not meant to live here forever. As St. Augustine said after his conversion, "O Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." That's the Christian response to the Walter Jameson inside of each of us. And it points us directly to Easter. Easter means that at long last we can have what we were made for. We can have perfect happiness. We can have perfect joy and peace. We can know perfect love and have the fullness of life that our hearts long for. We can have it because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, obtained it for us by his passion, death, and resurrection. That's the reason for all the alleluias of Easter. In his conversation with Sam Kitteridge, Walter Jameson said something worth repeating. He said, "Only if a man lived forever could there be any point in living at all." Jameson, of course, was referring to an endless life here on this earth. As he meant it, he was wrong. But on a deeper Christian level, he was absolutely correct. If there's no life after this one, my brothers and sisters, then what's the point of this life? To accumulate more knowledge? That's what Jameson thought, till he started seeing his loved ones dying all around him. What's the point of this life? To make more money? To have more toys than everyone else? Become a sports or media superstar, to have lots of sex? Pornographers think that's the point. But what's the point of this life? To get to the top rung of the corporate ladder? To party as much as possible? To have other people like you and think you're important? For more than 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has proclaimed to the world the true answers to the questions about the meaning and value of human life, the crucial questions. Why are you here? You're here because God willed that you be here, and because God loves you. And this incredible, infinite love of God led him to send his Son into the world to die for the forgiveness of your sins. The point of this life is not to do your own thing, in spite of what the hedonists believe. The point of your life is to live for God, to live by faith in Jesus Christ, and to follow the Lord's plan for your life. Thus, the point of human existence, as the old Baltimore Catechism used to put it, is to know, love, and serve the Lord here on this earth so that we will be happy with him forever in heaven, our true home, where the deepest longings of our hearts will finally be satisfied. I ask you this morning, do you believe this? Do you believe that's why you're here? Do you believe that's the point of your life? And the point of human existence? If you do, then you'll be at Mass next Sunday, and every Sunday and Holy Day thereafter. If you believe this, really believe it, you'll make your relationship with Jesus Christ the first priority in your life. Nothing else will occupy that spot. Not your work, not the casino, not sports, not anything else, not even your family. If you really believe this, you'll examine your conscience frequently and confess your sins often. If you believe this, you'll make every effort to be more charitable, more forgiving, more virtuous, more loving at home, at school, and at work. And amazingly, if you really believe this, you'll actually start to enjoy this life a lot more, because you'll have the right perspective on the fleeting pleasures of this world. Sadly, if you don't believe this, then no matter how much money you make, or how much power and pleasure you experience, the Walter Jameson inside of you will continue to cry out. And you'll have no answer for him. In the deepest recesses of your mind and heart, those nagging, troublesome questions will never go away, ever. Why am I here? What's the point of this life? And why won't the pleasures of this earth bring me peace, even when I gorge myself on them? Because the only answer to the Walter Jameson within us, my brothers and sisters, is the answer of Easter. May Almighty God give us the grace today to accept it and believe.